With you, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. They had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus enjoined them, "Watch out and beware, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod." They concluded among themselves that it was because they had no bread. When he became aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do your eyes not see and your ears not hear? Do you not remember when I broke five loaves for 5,000 people, how many wicker baskets full of fragments were piled up?" And they answered, 12. "And when I broke seven loaves for 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you pick up?" And they answered, 7. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" The Gospel of the Lord. One or two brief words about the gospel. It's difficult to catch the meaning of this gospel when you separate it from its context. Jesus has gone in Mark's gospel. Interestingly, in Mark, there are two narratives about the feeding of the multitude. One, a Jewish feeding of 5,000, 12 baskets, 12 tribes of Israel, the new Israel, 12 apostles. The feeding of the Gentiles happens over at the other side of the Sea of Galilee near Syria, a place called Kursi. It happens over there, it's 4,000. And then they pick up 7 baskets, representing the 7 pagan countries that surrounded the area. One is the feeding of the Jews, the other feeding of the Gentiles. And now, after this is finished, they get in the boat with Jesus, and they have but one loaf. And when Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," they think he's speaking about the bread, that they don't have enough bread. And he says to them, "Did you not understand what I did? I fed everybody. I fed the people without merit. I fed the people without condition. I fed the Gentiles. I fed the Jews. Don't you see that my embrace of people is large? So beware of the Pharisees. They're legalistic. They exclude people. They make judgments about people. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." They didn't quite understand that. But now Jesus is teaching about being open and being respectful and being welcoming of all people. That's the teaching of the feeding of the people. Those who merited, those who didn't, everybody qualified, whoever was hungry. So he's teaching us here through his disciples about seeing goodness in people, seeing goodness in all people, searching for the goodness in people. I'll settle for that and say a little word about Valentine, because it's Valentine's Day, and everybody is somehow attached to Valentine's Day. You know, there was a Saint Valentine. Valentine was he was buried in Rome for a number of years. He was a martyr in the 3rd century, very early among the Christians who were persecuted. And he was revered, his memory was revered. He was buried in catacombs for many years. And however, in 1969, I remember it very well. I was working with Cardinal McIntyre at the time. 1969, Pope Paul VI refined the catalog of saints, and he threw out some saints. I think Philomena lost her ground. You might remember that. And the cardinal in Boston was upset about that for some reason. He said, "Somebody up there is answering her mail." That was what he said, because she's up there somewhere. But Valentine was excluded from the list of saints, so he doesn't appear now in the catalogue of saints which we have. But he was a real person here, a martyr in the early church. He's not connected with romance, it's got nothing to do with that. That becomes a part of the conversation in the 15th century. And rather interestingly, it was Geoffrey Chaucer. Now, those of you who read English will remember Chaucer. You'll remember the Canterbury Tales, his most famous one. But he was the father of English literature, Geoffrey Chaucer, died in 1400. But also one of his most celebrated poems was The Parliament of Birds, otherwise called The Parliament of Fools, but The Parliament of Birds. And in The Parliament of Birds, he is the first one that mentions Valentine as a sign of love. And part of it was that February 14th at that time in the Middle Ages was the beginning of spring. And it was presumed the beginning of spring was the time that birds began to come together, and the birds began to mate in the beginning of spring, and they would sing the springtime songs of love. And thereafter, he died in 1400, thereafter it became a celebrated moment that we have now as Valentine's Day. And of course, along came all those who sell chocolates and cakes and cards, greeting cards, and they anointed February 14th as a day to express our love. In some ways, it's important to keep in mind the value of this day, since it has been our tradition all through the centuries to take things that were secular and anoint them and give them a spiritual meaning. Our Lady Guadalupe displaced Tonazin, who was a goddess, Aztec goddess. When we come to Christmas, December 25th, this was a feast day, a celebration in the old Roman Empire of Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, the birthday of the invincible sun god. And along come the Christians and say, oh, we'll put Jesus' birthday right on top of the sun god. So we have a tradition of taking things that are secular and giving them an anointing and giving them a special kind of spiritual value. I think that's true about Valentine's Day. It's an opportunity for us to say things that we probably should say more often, to tell people that we love them and to separate very special people in our lives and give them the gift of an expression of love. Therefore, it does have a spiritual value. It's not purely secular. I think the manner in which we thank people and express our love for people, there's a holiness about that. It's something that should happen more often. When we come to Valentine's Day, it reminds us to be grateful and to bless the person, that very special person in our lives who deserves expressions of love, and perhaps we don't say it often enough. So make this day holy by expressing our love for a very special person in our lives. We pause now for a moment of prayer. I don't know if I mentioned that in Chaucer's book, he is the one that says he uses the word Valentine, and that's where the romance thing came in there. I don't know if I said that correctly. So thank you, Chaucer, for all these years of Valentine's Day, which began way back in the 15th century.